Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
WCLM Radio Online, the heart
Enzo of Richmond, Virginia. Sports writer and activist Pat Freeman. We need to get him on. Pat Freeman from Buffalo, the Buffalo Sports Complex. The Mighty Oba on WUFO 1080, Buffalo, New York. Remember, Roy Rogers, CEO of BSN, New York City, New York. And the family of BSN Writers. The 707 and 609 for their support. Also, Travis Singleton, the young warrior. And he has a thing for high school kids. Kids, 4th grade. Look up on Facebook, Travis Singleton, Kids, 4th grade. If you get good grades, you get a pair of sneakers. Join the COVID caravan, the Soul Patrol, and Nation, and WCLM on Facebook.com.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at pad for truth on Twitter. That's at pad number 4 truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Pocket is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man ear off. Again, only in theory, because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk, sports talk, sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
All right, news of the week. Well, you know, the National Football League does it again, trying to implement a no taunting rule. And this is a rule after what happened this Monday night with Seattle Seahawks. A wide receiver caught the ball and started waving a finger at one of the defenders, which was 30 yards behind him. The defender drew a flag, taunting. But the NFL was playing with this rule idea before, a year ago. And so I began after the Monday night game. They want to take back the touchdown. Not a good idea. Here's the idea, I think it might work. If a player gets called for taunting, the offending player at the defending team has to kick off at the 5-yard line. Then his own teammates will get upset with him for putting him in the position that they get in. But of course, the No Fun League isn't thinking that way. It's aimed at African-American ball players because we celebrate touchdowns. We celebrate block kids. We celebrate tackling the quarterback. We celebrate great plays. Not really. The player need to grow up, start to put with this, and play the game. That is the issue. There's also another issue. Head call this week. Stephen A. Smith, first date, ESPN, said the infamous N-word. And then he denied he ever said it. I want you to hear the take. It's been recorded. And Stephen A. Smith can say, hey, he was say, you know, as the ESPN and their minions have let Stephen A. Smith lie. Why? Because Stephen A. Smith is one of the boys, one of the girl boys. We can't buy our boy. I mean, boy with a little B. Stephen A. Smith is what we used to call Oreo cookies. That's why he ain't gonna buy it. Let's take it out.
Is gonna miss it because my foot is sprained. Are y'all crazy? Send it, please.
Okay, enough about that. Back to Dante.
We'll be there again. We'll be there again.
You're going on. He'll be just fine. Opening night, Kobe Bryant is gonna miss it because my foot is sprained. Are y'all crazy? Send it, please.
Okay, enough about that. Back to Dante.
Now, excuse me. What was that? And people have been fired all over ESPN because of nonsense like this. But Stephen A. Smith is still working. Stephen A. Smith is still getting paid. Stephen A. Smith denies he ever said it. Now, folks, you know I've been on ESPN for years, and this is exactly why I've been on it. They pick and choose which Negro they want and no one. Stephen A. Smith carries a program. He carries their agenda. Therefore, Stephen A. Smith does not get fired. Stephen A. Smith continues the nonsense. Okay? Let's move on. I'm tired of ESPN doing this. Over and over again. The New York Knicks Monday finally play home. At Madison Square Garden in 2013, as they host the Montreal Canadiens, the fans were not happy because the New York Rangers stink. The New York Rangers stink. They can't score a goal. They're terrible on defense. And they're next to last place in the Eastern Conference. The Montreal Canadiens beat them 2-0 on 36 shots. And I feel sorry for goalie Heinrich Lundqvist because he's getting barraged from every angle, every part of the ice. The New York Rangers are pitiful. Tuesday night, the tickets for the World Series game on Wednesday quadruple in price as the Boston Red Sox have not won a home series the 1918. Moving on, the Eagles say that Michael Vick will not play this week in Oakland. And Nick Foles will be behind their quarterback this week. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Green Birds, can kiss this season goodbye. Because with the offensive system that they put in, they cannot win without Michael Vick at quarterback. So all my friends in the Philadelphia area, I feel sorry for you. You got 8 more games to go of the nonsense of Chip Kelly and his offense. The NBA season starts on Tuesday night. And it could be a crazy dash to finish. And it would be more difficult trying to get out of the Eastern Conference with the new and improved Chicago Bulls, with Mr. Rose back, the Brooklyn Nets with Garnett, the Indiana Pacers with the front line. That could be your final four: Miami, Chicago, Brooklyn, Indianapolis in the East. In the West, we wide open as the machine, the San Antonio Spurs, as again. The upstart LA Clippers with their new coach. And the question mark at Westbrook with Oklahoma City. And Houston with their new and improved center, Dwight Howard. And don't sleep on the new name, the New England, New Orleans Penguins, New Orleans Pelicans, excuse me, will make a run in the West. Speaking of basketball, this weekend, Allen Iverson retired from the sport. He was playing in Europe. Retired this week in Philadelphia. Philadelphia retired number this weekend. Everybody can't forget this classical original Allen Iverson Red.
It's easy to sum it up. When you just talk about practice, we sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man. When you come in the arena and you see me play, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
But we're talking about practice right now. We're talking about practice. Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too. But we're talking about practice, man. We're not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters. We're talking about practice.
Now, is it possible, though, that from where he's coming from, if you practice, not you would be better, but your teammates would be better?
How the hell can I make my teammates better by practicing?
And that was, 14, 15 years ago? right? And I will not be practicing anymore. Wednesday, Boston and Bay Area has been decision. The Boston Red Sox win the World Series. And the Boston Bruins lose the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's interesting that the World Series had its lowest rating since the St. Louis Cardinals Kansas City Royal World Series. Major League Baseball, it is a serious trouble. I mean, serious trouble. Because they don't take care of business. They don't, and I will tell you something, folks. Alex Rodriguez is going to shake the trees. Alex Rodriguez, the New York Yankee third baseman, is going to upset the baseball world. What I mean is, baseball does not want Alex Rodriguez to talk. Baseball does not want Alex Rodriguez to name names, name cities, name organizations, name players. Mainly baseball, I said this a thousand times, needs to clean house. They need to stop playing games and clean house. And stop being this, you know what can I say, what can I say? Uncle Buddy needs to leave. Until Uncle Buddy leaves the range, baseball will continue to go downside. Okay? It's time to clean house, Major League Baseball. It's time to set the rules and set the rules today, baseball. It's time to enforce the rules as they are written, baseball. They don't do it. They have never done. Baseball is the only game where you can cheat and get away with it. Baseball is the only sport where it's allowed to cheat. If you're not cheating, you're not ready to win. That's baseball. Until we get that out of the sport, it will continue to slide. It's come to this point where drugs has overtaken the game. Not because of the drugs, it's because of the attitude of the drugs. Takers. Okay, you permitted atmosphere. You created atmosphere. Now you gotta live with it. Major League Baseball. Now you gotta live with it, Bud Selig. Get it right. I tell you, if this continues, you will be a forgotten sport. It's too slow. It's too long. There are too many ways to circumvent the rules. It needs to stop. Move on Wednesday. The LA Kings beat the San Jose Sharks in overtime, and the Sharks play looked awful that night, Wednesday night. While the Golden State Warriors beat up the tired LA Lakers in LA. On Thursday, the NFL will be looking at the incident of Miami linemen who quit the Miami Dolphins after being harassed by his own teammates. What we call bullying. And what the sorority of fraternities call hazing, of the environment that I'm not the Stanford University graduate, he said, I don't need it. He walked out of the gate. Miami Dolphins and the Bengals play Thursday night. I need an extra quarter to play. As the Dolphins beat the Bengals 22-20. And every time the Bengals get good ability, they always roll back into the old Cincinnati Bengals. And once again, they do it again. As they lose to Miami 22-20. It's Friday. It's Friday. Did you do your homework? Did you buy a bag? If not, you know what your homework is for this week? Okay. I'm going to take a little break here, and we're going to get back into the end of the World Series and start of the NFL Week 9 after we go back. I'll be back in a minute. We're going to do some Lizzie Keys, and my girl is going to take a little my favorite city, my favorite town. In the East Coast, you know where that is? Right down. Rio.
MVP of the series, which
there's only one choice and that was him. And not many bands outside of the Boston, St. Louis area watch this World Series. I don't understand it, but that's what happened. The lowest since the St. Louis Kansas City series back in the 80s. So congratulations to Red Sox Nation. I think we're in the third series in 10 years. And if you're 15 years old, you think the Red Sox are something. And they don't even know about the 80-year separation between championships. If you're a 15-year-old, really a Boston, you think the Boston Red Sox are all that. But we know better. The Sixers upset. And win the home opener against Dwight Howard. Is that right? No, the Sixers beat the Miami Heat. Excuse me. 114-110. And Dwight Howard guided his team to victory in Houston. The Rockets look good in the paint. As Dwight Howard got out of L.A. and out of the L.A. Fridge Bowl, that's why he went to Houston. He'll do fine to Houston, just like he did fine in Orlando. He never should have left Orlando, but he did anyway for the money. And now he's at Houston, and he will play well for the Houston Rockets. Okay. You know what time it is, don't you know what time it is?
Cardinals.
quarterback. Now we do the good side. In our bowl, and about Seahawks, as they escape Monday night in a victory over St. Louis. Number two, the San Francisco 49ers, as the Golden Boys are on a dirty roll as they won in England last week. This week they have a bye week. They went wrestling for next week. The Kansas City Chiefs were undefeated at number three. They gave them number one. They're in the AFC West. Only undefeated team. Number four, the New Orleans Saints. And Drew Brees is loving his old head coach back into New Orleans. Number five, Aaron Rodgers. Galbert, as he worked like a surgeon last week, his victory at Green Bay. Number six, beware the Broncos. They're so shaky, and Manning did not look good last week. Number seven, Indianapolis coach Andrew Luck, the rookie, is learning week by week. Yeah, second year, and number eight, the New England Patriots. This is the weakest New England team in many, many years. Number nine, and disappointing loss of Thursday night, the Cincinnati Bengals, the dark horse of the whole 10 bunch. Number 10. They don't call the black and blue division for nothing. The Detroit Lions and number 10. Now for you Cowgirls, now the Cowboys, number 11, because they lead the NFC least. Number 11. The Cowboys lose this week, which is possible. The Giants and Eagles, if they win, will be one game behind the Dallas Cowgirls. Cowboys. So, there you have it. The top 10 of the already the National Football League. And there are only two games this weekend with winning records. One is Monday night with the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. That's the one game with winning records. Second one is San Diego Chargers against the Washington Football Club. So, this is a very odd weekend at scheduling games. They have it. And we move on to my favorite sport.
Thank you.
National Hockey League in the GLC. Last night, if you didn't get a chance to look at the papers, Tampa Bay beat the Carolina Hurricanes 3-0. The Columbus Blue Jackets lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-2. The New York Islanders, the Ulster Islanders, beat the Ottawa Senators 5-4 overtime. The St. Louis Blues beat the Florida Panthers 4-0. The Montreal Canadiens beat the Minnesota lose to the Minnesota Wild 4-3. The Colorado Avalanche, the Ulster Avalanche, beat the Dallas Stars 3-2. And the Detroit Red Wings beat the Calgary Flames 4-3. But the story of the night was in Philadelphia, where the Washington Capitals beat up the Philadelphia Flyers. In the third period, the Flyers had enough. They were down 5-0. And I don't know who could. Somebody broadsided another player, and everybody had died. It was a 10-minute brawl, and even Goldbrother, Ray Emery, went up the ice, picked on Goldie, Washington Goldie, and beat him to the ice. And this is, the NHL and baseball, go figure. Mainly baseball and NHL are the only two sports what this is about. The National Hockey League has got to take a stand and say, if you bite, you're out of the gate. Period. Whether you're dying, whether you're in it, you're out. Last night's game in Philadelphia was a travesty to the National Hockey League. Okay? It needs to stop. Commissioner Gary Bettman needs to step in and say, these are the rules. If you fight, you will get a 3-game suspension. If you injure somebody, it's 5 games. Literally. And nonsense in the National Hockey League. If they can do it in international play, if they can do it in college hockey, they can do it in NHL. There's no reason for this. Goonery on the ice. By the way, the Washington Capitals beat the Flyers 7-0. Alright, 39. The World Series trophy went to the game into the Bruins. And the Bruins defeated the Anaheim Ducks on 39. As Goldbrother Jerome Engler scored a shootout goal. Hey, the New York Rangers, they win the game. They beat the Avid Buffalo Sabres 2-0. And Heinrich Lindquist gets out from a defenseman. Rangers win 2-0. Out west, the Phoenix Coyotes beat the Nashville Predators 4-3. And Mikhail Brodker scores the overtime score. Thomas Grace, May 26 saves. There you go. NHL this week. Let's see if we got anybody online here. Let me do. We got Cowboy Reggie online. Cowboy.
Once again, how the fucking Washington Capitals beat you know, Philly were out there number one scorer with a shoulder injury. And that tell you that maybe they don't need him on the team. What do you think, Drummond?
I think both of these teams need an overhaul. Because both of these teams are in defensive trouble. I mean, look, a Mexican not playing, and they scored 7 goals against the Flyers.
I tell you all you need to know about the Mexican is the toughest stuff.
The Flyers are in trouble because the Flyers, they always have a good defense. This is the first year where I've seen no defense in that team. Washington is doing its usual. They always do a slow start. December, January, they'll get back into the game again. But Washington always does this.
Yep, you're right. I agree. But you know, I got a couple of quick HBCU scores if you want them.
Oh, yeah, come on, bring it on.
All right, here we go. All right, first score we have is Virginia State has won the Northern Division of the CIAA, and Coach Scott, first year, beating Shawan 28-0. So
right.
We have a rivalry game next week against Virginia Union at Virginia State and Ettrick, Virginia. But in all transparency, you will have Virginia State from the Northern Division going up against Winston-Salem. Right now, Winston-Salem has their hands full. We don't have a score on that, but that score was 21-17. Went over Livingston, and right now they got their hands full. But we have Morgan State 30, Hampton 27. Again, that's Morgan State 30, Hampton 27. We have no kind of A&T, Jesse Jackson, alma mater. That's right, the honorable Jesse Jackson, 59, Virginia, Lynchburg 12, and that's in the fourth quarter. That's winding down. Other scores we have Elizabeth City 28. Virginia Union 21. Union's back on a 2-game losing streak, but that's 28-21. Also, we have a final 8-0, and that is a big shot. And that's 44-0. So that was a major surprise right there.
Man.
All right, other games we have coming up here. Oh my God, you ain't gonna be this one, G. Are you sitting down for this one, G? Man, G, when you hear this score, you're gonna think that it must be a high school game, but we have Bowie State 76, Lincoln 19.
What?
Lincoln University, not too far from your old school. That's right, Bowie State 76, Lincoln 19. And that is a final. that's up in Pennsylvania, not too far from your neck of the woods, G.
Yeah, I'm in the Pennsylvania Mountains.
Yeah. All right, halftime is Winston-Salem 21, Charles 7. That's at the half. Winston-Salem 21, Charles 7.
Are you
going
to go to the championship game?
Yes, sir. I'll be calling you. I'll be coming live. We'll be live in Winston-Salem coming again. All right, we have Bethune-Cookman 38, North Carolina Central 14. That is the final. Bethune-Cookman 38, North Carolina Central 14. And right now, that's going to pretty much do it for college sports. A lot of evening games going up. But, G, you heard the show there, and again, you heard the guys giving you love and a big shout-out. But, G, when you have two high schools in the state of Texas, spending more than $50 to $60 million for a high school football stadium, something's wrong with that pitch. You know what I mean, G?
America is becoming a sports addict.
We have
more sports shows than ever before. Why is that? Because more people are getting into this. It's becoming addictive.
Yeah, so they're betting. It's all about betting. Fantasy, football, you name it. It's betting. That's what it's all about. It's all my dollar.
it's getting bad. I mean, when you have $1,000 betting on fantasy football, it's bad.
Yeah, and that's what they do. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs right now.
Congratulations on your Trojans.
Your Trojans are marching on. Yeah, we first year Coach Scott. First year, I mean, the school stepped up and he stepped up and had some touch and go games, but got to give Coach Scott credit. I mean, he stepped up, put the big shoes on, and did what he had to do. So we're proud of him. Because, I mean, it takes a lot to come into the CIAA. They were ranked to be fifth, almost at the bottom, man. winning lower division the first time out, that's major.
What's up?
What's the
Rams doing?
Right now, it's something that's up 21-7 hey. over Livingstone, and that's a half.
All right. I bet
the Rams are winning everybody. Oh, yeah. He's already told me that they'd be looking for not to be so hospitable when we come down to the championship. Yeah, I know I will be looking forward to it, you know, to say the least.
All right. Well, what's your
wise bullets? Oh, man, once again, you want to see turmoil. It's the side bullets. I mean, they get their butts kicked by the 76ers, okay, and they go in and get their butts kicked again by a Detroit Piston. And, I mean, it's like the gift that never gets keep giving is the Washington Wizards. I mean, once again, we see that these clowns don't even have a clue of what's going on, and that's why they keep living in the Rockets. I mean, John Wall, for what's going on, is no excuse for them to be playing the way they are.
Ready? The coaching, or the players, or what's the problem?
Ernie Grunfeld does not draft well. Ted Giuliano, the owner, you know who is the owner of the Capitals. He is more focused on the hockey team than he is basketball.
Yeah.
And Washington D.C. is a basketball crazed town. If they ever get cranking, man, people will be ready to embrace them. But you just can't embrace mediocrity, and that's what it is.
Did you hear about Mr. Daniel Snyder, what he said about changing the name to the DZ Redskins?
That's what he said, going to change the name to?
That's what he said.
So basically, he just stuck thumb his nose.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, either Monday night, Tuesday morning, either I'm going to change the name to the DC Redskins.
Yeah, he's trying to be funny, that's all.
Well,
he sent his season ticket holders another saying that he was sensitive to the plight of the Indians. But he was saying a different tune, so I don't know where this is trying to come from.
Why would you do that? That is so arrogant.
That's all it is. Straight up arrogant. You know, this guy has the money, has the weather, he's going to do what he want to do, and he's going to let people know. He don't care what you and I say about it, you know, but then again, the soon as I was
Reggie, you know, it'll be changing the name, it'll make more money changing the name, I don't get this, tomorrow, he would get more money changing the name than to keep the name that he's already named.
Yeah, but you remember too, Gary, the R word is over $2 billion entity in the NFL. It's over $2 billion. And for him to change, he had to get help from the NFL. The NFL doesn't seem too generous about giving up money right now.
Well, NFL's not going to budge.
Yeah. I don't look for Dan Snyder to change. I mean, because Dan Snyder is who he is, and I don't look for him to change.
I'm going to play this for you.
Okay, you know who that was, right?
Who was that?
Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, no, that idiot.
He used the N-word. Okay, and ESPN did not fire him.
They're not going to fire him. I mean, because he served his master well. He does what they want him to do. You know, so, you know, he's getting a little tech too, you know. They're not going to fire.
Other black commentators that got fired for that. A white announcer had the Martin Luther King incident.
Yeah. Mark Greenberg.
Okay.
You know, Mike Greenberg, he still has a job, and you have black folks defending him. Now, how sick is that? Yeah, black folks defending this guy. But yet, if he had said some Anne Frank and stormtroopers, oh my God, they'd have been gone.
Yeah.
You and I both know it. I mean, they said Bernie Madoff was a great financial guy. He did what he should have did to his people. I mean, that was it. He'd be gone. Yeah, but that's
well,
the kind of fool out here.
And the military man did it very well today. If we don't see
yeah,
enough,
that's fine.
If we don't stand up for anything, we'll fall for anything.
You got that right. I agree 100%. He was so right. So right. But we got to move on, Big G. But we holler at
okay.
you, later, man. Good job.
Thank you, bro. Let's go. Let's
all right.
WCLM 1450, the RSO of Richmond, Virginia. We're going to take a break here. We're going to do my favorite thing.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Say go, New York, go, New York, go. Say go, New York, go, New York, go. We produce you live from the garden. It's been 40 long years and we're starving.
Yeah.
From that fight to Mari, we're starting the party.
Yo.
And also the plane crash is taking out the garbage. Oh, yeah. It's the New York Knicks. We brought along Chin, he's got a bottle of tricks. You're a Nick, you and Nick for life. This is the year, we get first place. New back for three,
even with no space.
Try and take it to the basket. Tyson will leave you in a casket. And if the defense makes a mistake, then bam, J.R. dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York.
Reminiscing of Stockton and Malone.
Last year was a struggle on that playoff bubble. Thank God we got Paul, find that discount double. And now he's got J's for days.
Uh-huh.
And it chips a lot, he plays like he does in 2K. If they don't get you rings, then Sheed Thomas and Kid better bring me some bling. Cause it costs $1.50 just to sit in the stands to watch the wind tick quick like Pablo's hands. Knicks fans got swag like snapbacks. It's a rap once we get jumping stat back. So put three to your head, one in the sky. Knicks 2012.
Westbrook won't come back in 2 weeks. Men don't take advantage. And Mr. Love got a double-double again. In Brooklyn, New York, Brooklyn beat the Miami Heat 101-100 at the new Brooklyn Nets on their way. And let's see, rounding out the schedule, the Memphis Grizzlies beat the Detroit Pistons. The Portland Trailblazers beat the Denver Nuggets 113-98. The Phoenix Suns beat the Utah Jazz, and the New York Clippers with their new coach Doc Rivers beat the Sacramento Kings 110-101. San Jose Spurs beat the Kobe-less Aaron Eggers, and Kobe might not be there until after December. The Lakers will have to depend on the bench this year. San Antonio 91, Lakers 85. 39, people in Chicago are happy as they return to Derrick Rose. And the Chicago Bulls beat the New York Knicks 82-81 on Rose fadeaway jumper, with time running down on 39. The Golden State Warriors get ambushed by Rob City and the LA Clippers 126-115. And I really against back-to-back games in the NBA, because it's proven that the games, if you travel a back-to-back games, 90% of the time, you will lose that game. In Boston this week, the Boston Celtics finally give a statue to Bill Russell. It's about time, after all these years, Boston gives a statue to the legendary All-Fame 10-time world champion Bill Russell. Okay, let's see what we got here. Oh yeah, it's that time of the day. You know what time of the day is? You know what time of the day is? Let's see if we can get it going here. It's that time of the day. And we know what that is.
Afternoon, Gary. I think you lost track of the time there. I heard you say, well, we got to see what's going on, and then you realized what time it is. Time for the Toe Cove conversation. Snuck up on you. Hey, I want to talk about a couple. You know, we're well into the NFL season. This is what, week nine?
Week nine. Yeah, we're going to look ahead
of
the season.
I mean, it just started, and now we're well into it and rounding the halfway point already. So, time goes by, so halfway through the NFL season, a lot of teams on bye weeks this week, and general perception that there are really no major NFL games on the calendar for this weekend.
There's only one game. That's the Monday night game in Green Bay at Chicago. That's the only real game this week.
Ah. That's a good matchup.
Yeah, the Raiders are play host the Eagles this Sunday. I think Oakland's gonna blow the Eagles. Eagles out of work. This team is in complete disarray.
Well, that would be a big turnaround because not so very long ago, the Raiders themselves were in complete disarray.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that they can thump on somebody else is quite remarkable. The Raiders, of course, you know, beat the Steelers last week after leading significantly for much of the game and then just holding on for the win at the tail end.
I think Mr. Breyer has really shown what he's about. They gave Breyer a chance. I knew he would do it. Finally, he gets a chance to play the game, and the Raiders are going to be much better for it because he can run and throw, and when he gets double threat, it's a good thing.
Right. So that's where we are in the NFL. A couple points I want to hit. I know you spoke earlier in your show about the Red Sox winning the World Series, and for a young person, they would perhaps think that the Red Sox, you know, like the Yankees, are always a team that's part of the mix, but that has not been true. This is the first time that the Red Sox have won a series at home, I think, in almost 100 years, since
1918. 1918 was the last one.
Yeah, 1918. Babe Ruth was in uniform then.
Yep, and he played only 3 innings.
Yeah, right. But the funny thing about this series, nobody cared. I mean, the World Series used to be major. This thing just kind of was just like another event.
And I made a point earlier in the show about this. Major League Baseball needs to clean it out. What I mean is, look, you allow cheating in the game. You allow cheating to the point where it's got out of hand. Now, I'm telling you, Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, is going to open the doors and it may well doesn't want to be open.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think that right now, at present, there is still cheating in the game?
It's always been a game of cheating. Look, it's gotten to the point now, it's ridiculous.
No, I know, but you know, I think you've made the point, other people have made the point about, you know, cheating historically in the game, you know, wetting down fields, the use of greenies, amphetamines, and then the whole performance-enhancing drug era.
You raise the batter's box. You use spitballs. You steal bases that for the other coaches. I mean, it's the attitude of cheating in that game.
No, but let's talk about that piece by piece, working backwards. When you steal signs, if the other team doesn't cover its signs, you've cracked their strategy.
Art, you add signs in football. People don't do that in football.
You can see the other team is doing something, and from watching film and coaching, you know that when they do that something, that it means another thing. You know, you will call. You will say, okay, well, here's that, you know, shifting alignment, and we're going to, you know, go audible at the line of scrimmage.
Baseball is a constant drumbeat. Game after game, almost anybody hitting. I think that's why the game is in trouble. That's why baseball is slipping in popularity, because people are beginning to see the nonsense of the game. If they had enforced the rules 30 years ago on drugs, we wouldn't be here today.
Well, but that's my point. Is the game, in your opinion, still drug saturated?
Of course. Look, I bet you that they're driving by ways. Look, trust me, these guys are driving by ways that I didn't know already. You better believe it. Just because A-Rod got you to get changed? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because
that list of 100 players that they were going to suspend, that came up and went down. That never happened, right?
And you know why? I'm going to tell you
why.
Well,
I think you raised a good point, and I think they got a little scared because many of the names on the list were Hispanics.
I'm going to tell you another reason why. And one player on that list that people do not want others to know about. I ain't going to name names, but number 8. And people can put 2 and 2 together, they know who number 8 is. Number 8 is in the Hall of Fame. Number 8 broke Lou Gehrig's record. Number 8 retired 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And they don't want his name to get out in the public.
What I'm talking about, Gary, is the name of the current players. The commissioner's office just this year was going to suspend 100 players for 100 games or something like that?
Only 50 players.
Yeah, 50 players. And so there was all that, and that came up, and then it just went away.
Well, 30 players got suspended. 30 players got suspended.
For how long?
50 games.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because that came up and it lost track. I wasn't aware that was actually implemented.
It lost track because nobody of interest was on that list.
Huh?
Only A-Rod, Cabrera, and well, only 3 or 4 major players on that list.
Right.
And again,
you know, it's funny. I mean, you talk about how the game's in trouble, and I think it is in trouble because the World Series, the major event, just it was like almost like another event of mixed martial arts or something. Just another event on television.
Let me real here again. Major League Baseball. What did they do this year? They had a wild card game. Again, this is the foolishness of the game. You had a wild card game, one game, you play all year long, and you got one game playoff? Are you serious? And this is nonsense of Major League Baseball.
Well,
you know,
but let me explain the logic of that, just for the sake of argument. This is a team, that additional wild card team is a team that arguably would not have been in it in the first place.
Art, you play 162 games. 100, and go play one game. Decide your future.
We see that in college basketball. It's all comes down to one game.
But you understand that. You understand that format. Baseball, look. This is what I would do. I would join the season to 148 games.
Well, that's not going to happen, Gary.
Let me finish. You have a three-game wild card series. You have a 5-game conference series. A 7-game division championship. And then you have the World Series. That makes more sense. This one game playoff thing is one of the stupidest things baseball ever done.
Well. Yeah, but the other one, I think the alternate that you outlined there is not going to happen because they're not going to reduce the number of games, because all those teams, you go from 145 to 160, that's 15 games of revenue producing that they're not going to give up.
If you add the wild card game, the 3 games, and the playoff game, the 5 games, you get them back.
No, but that's limited only to the teams that are participating. You're not getting all that home revenue.
But
with
the
those 16 games, half away.
The whole thing is their revenue.
You know, now half away, half at home, you know, that's a lot of parking, a lot of hot dogs, a lot of sodas that you're selling.
But this is why, look, this is why Major League Baseball is losing its art.
Yeah.
It's losing its charm because it keeps doing stupid stuff. Look, you know, I'm a baseball fan, and my New York Mets play 162 games, and they lose last year of the year and end up being a wild card, and they have to travel to Atlanta. I'm not going to be happy. Okay? Because it's one game. I'm not going to be a happy gamer.
Right.
If you had three games, one game home, two games on the road, thank you. You play 100, what do you play a game for?
But I think people are also so tired of these, like, endless playoff games. And that's kind of the thing you see in the NBA, where the postseason goes on forever.
But if you're going to do it that way, that's the way you need to do it. Look, we know for years basketball is that way. We know for years hockey was that way. We know for years football was that way. No major issues. Baseball is trying to be like them, and it ain't working. It ain't working.
Right. Right. Well, that's true, and I think, you know, the interest in the game is definitely waning, and it's, you know, kind of a turning point in American sports history to see that happen, to see it happen so clearly. Here, when you have a classic matchup between the Red Sox and the Cardinals, and really a historic conclusion with the Red Sox winning at home for the first time since 1918, and nobody cares.
Yeah, and what does that tell you?
Right. Well, the game has lost its traction.
And Bud Dilly and his cronies do not get it. They don't get it. And that's why baseball is failing. They don't get it.
Well, revenue's down across the league. I know out here in the Bay Area, San Francisco Giants, a somewhat smaller stadium, but selling out largely through dynamic pricing. I mean, if they get a stinker of a game, they will, you know, put the tickets out there at a steeply discounted price just to get people in the seats.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they are selling out, and, you know, of course, they've won the World Series last
two years ago.
Right. How is attendance going across the league?
It's a little bit down. But here's another example of baseball not doing the right thing. 1961, the Oakland A's gave territorial rights to the San Francisco Giants. They gave San Jose to the San Francisco Giants. Here we are, 2013. The A's want to rise back with the Giants. The Giants said, no, we're not giving it back to you. And now Major League Baseball has been silent on the issue. Now, if I'm Major League Baseball, do the right thing. Give territorial rights back to the A's. They can move where they want to. Stop doing that. This is the kind of stuff that is ruining the game. The Giants, they don't need San Jose. So why are they doing this?
Well, see, my view on that, too, is this whole thing of a San Jose stadium, I think, is kind of a red herring. For people who know the geography of the Bay Area, San Jose is not that far a drive up from Oakland. I mean, you start just going down, you know, the East Bay from Oakland, Newark, Union City, Fremont. Boom, you're in San Jose. So it's kind of part of the greater East Bay in a way.
Right, so why are the Giants fighting this thing?
Well, because it is their market.
But
it is their market. They don't want to lose market share. They don't want to pull from market share. And now there's a lot of money in San Jose, because San Jose, on the other side of it, is, you know, greater Silicon Valley.
That's right. That's what this is about. If I was a commissioner, be smart, what I would do is I would divide San Jose half. This is your half, this is the other half. Right?
No, you're not going to. I mean, that's not going to make sense, because the half that the A's want is the money half on the Silicon Valley half. I mean, they don't want East San Jose. They want Palo Alto, Mountain View,
right?
Those towns.
But if
those folks, you know, like Shoreline Amphitheater is in Mountain View. People go from all over the Bay Area to go down there, and, you know, and there's, you know, bridges and highways that, you know, connect you, and that's really kind of, you know, the lower East Bay.
But the A's could be greedy in 1988, that we don't want to give you the rights to the Giants. They didn't do that in 1988. They gave you the rights to the Giants.
Right.
So to me, here we are 40 years later, the A's won the rights back, and the Giants said, we're not giving it to you.
Right.
With the backing of Bud Selig, not saying a word. That's the problem.
Well, I think that's, you know, one, it's a local issue. Two, it's an issue that's going to continue, is not going to get resolved, and is kind of a part, but kind of a tiny part, I think, of all the things that are wrong with baseball. So I don't want to get too sidetracked on that as we close the book on the 2013 baseball season with its footnote that the World Series happened and basically nobody cared. Some other things that are important, of course, we're starting the NBA season, and we're starting it with the official retirement of the man who was the answer.
Okay, wait. I gotta play this.
Let me introduce it. People may not know who I'm talking about. We're talking about Allen Iverson.
About practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about?
And I would say, this man was one of the best basketball players of all time.
Yep.
With his size, with his tenacity, with his offensive skills, At 5'11", going up against 7-foot guys, it amazes me that he didn't get killed.
Yeah.
Iverson was one of the best players I've ever seen in the NBA.
Right. Well, LeBron says, of course, that AI is pound for pound, perhaps, and very likely, the greatest player who has ever played the game.
Let me get Michael here. Michael, we're really doing wrong.
What's up, Jay?
How you doing, bro?
I'm good. I just want to throw something in the pot if I can on the baseball season thing. I want to throw something in the pot about the baseball thing before I talk about AI. Co-host there made a good point about nobody caring about the baseball season. But here's something that really surprised me. Normally, when the World Series and the NFL season is running together, I don't know if it's a gentleman's agreement or not, but when the World Series is on, there was no Sunday Night Football. You know, there would be time slot open for the game. That didn't happen because business is business, and football has surpassed baseball as the national pastime.
So, we
work on our clock. Forget about baseball. Forget about the World Series, unless you happen to be in Boston or St. Louis, And that's really what it felt like. I didn't get any vibe that anybody really cared about baseball once the teams were decided on. But having said that, regarding AI, people forget. And it's ironic because Allen Iverson and Michael Vick grew up in the same general area. Michael Vick idolized Allen Iverson, not because of his basketball prowess. People forget. Allen Iverson was all-state in two sports,
basketball and football.
He was a quarterback. So a lot of people don't realize a lot of that tenacity and toughness comes from Iverson's football background and plus the fact that Paul Fitzgerald had one of the biggest hearts in sport.
I would agree with you that the Sixers went up against the Lakers in the NBA Finals. I forget what year that was. I think the AI team only met the Lakers once in that era.
Yeah, yeah.
But Shaq, the Lakers won, of course. Shaq got the MVP award, and, of course, Shaq in his own way did dominate. But the degree to which Iverson put that Sixer team on his back, carried them through the season, carried them into the playoffs, into the finals, I always felt, and I make the argument, that really the MVP award should have gone to Iverson because he was truly the most valuable player on that Sixer team.
And again, pound for pound,
in his own way, far outshone the ultimately victorious accomplishment of Shaq and the Lakers.
The Sixers had no shot. They were written off by every expert regarding who was going to win the final. Iverson won that game one for them. The famous crossover and the stepping on of Tyronn Lue is legendary in Philadelphia. But make no mistake, when AI hung him up, he gave the league every ounce he could. And he should have been in the league as long as Ray Allen, because he could still give you 15 points a game off the bench. I don't know if he had a bench mentality. I do know that David Stern had his issues with him because Allen Iverson was definitely old school in the sense that he wasn't going to eat with people who hadn't starved with him, and he wasn't going to ride with those who had walked with him. And that worked David Stern to no end because they tried to push his image as being a thug, you know, because of the tattoos and everything else. He was just somebody who knew who he was rough around the edges, and definitely was no angel, but he never came out with an 8-year-old at 3 o'clock in the morning. He wasn't anything to do damage to the league in that regard. And he was subject of a personal attack by a son of a bitch named Howard Eskin, who still has a job on WIP and shouldn't have one because he made up stuff, literally made up stuff about Allen Iverson's personal life. And then when it was busted, and when he was busted, he comes out with the famous, "Well, I'm not a journalist, I'm an entertainer." And ultimately had to apologize on air 4 months as part of the agreement because Iverson was going to cut him off and everybody else in the city was going to cut him off because when it came out, he would have had zero credibility. Now this creep is still on the air and Allen Iverson carries on doing what he's doing. He's maybe not in the best shape that he would be in terms of his overall personal life, but the bottom line was he is the poster boy for those who resent the fact that these young men can make a lot of money doing what they're doing, and they are envious of that, and they show their envy by either sucking up or making their media vehicles bully pulpits to do damage. And Iverson was a victim, just like many other people don't want to admit, and that's the problem. People won't admit this. You have to say it for what it is.
LeBron James is going to the same thing right now with ESPN. LeBron James, let's make it very clear. ESPN used LeBron James.
That's right.
Three years ago.
Say that.
And they used LeBron James every athlete. We're going to have to get wise up and say, okay, you want to do this, we're not talking to you ever again. If they had nobody to talk to, they had no programming.
more and more athletes, Gary, have to speak up. You know, even as LeBron has told the sports world straight up, the three people who maligned him, I never speak to again, and they realize we better back up and change our game a little bit. You see it to a lesser degree now with Tiger Woods. Tiger, who was accused of being a cheater by a so-called columnist for the Golf Channel, and said straight up, you know, I might pursue legal action on this because, you know, we're too far this time. Now, the so-called journalist shouldn't apologize, but he admitted that, oh, maybe I went a little too far. And this is the essence of this problem. People need to be called out for their BS. And until LeBron and others continue to be consistent with this, because they realize there ain't no story without the players. So if you don't treat me right and be fair and objective, you can kiss my black behind. And in Tiger's case, it might be a Calvin Asian behind. I don't really care. The whole point is they're making sure that they're going to be standards, that you're not going to get away with this crap anymore. And unfortunately, that didn't exist in Allen Iverson's time, but give LeBron credit. He is speaking up for himself, he understands that he now has the cachet to do this and make sure that everybody pays attention, because if you don't do it, I don't have and won't have anything to do with you.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why this part is good for him and for other athletes who will finally, hopefully, wake the hell up.
All right. What do you guys say, brother?
Yeah, an additional note, though, on Iverson is for all his, perceived thug appearance or his thug reputation, you know, with the tattoos and the cornrows and the posse and all that, when you saw him play, and particularly if you saw him play live, he had such a purity to him. There was no thug aspect to him. There was nothing dirty about his game.
He brought
a complete purity to his game that really radiated. I had the pleasure to see him play live 3 times, and in each time came away with just, all I can say is the radiant purity of his game. And even in the famous interview that you just played about practice, he talks about how he lays it out on the game. And if you watch that, it's on YouTube, you can see it. Even there, he is speaking with such earnestness. A lot of people look at that video and listen to it, and it is funny where he's disdaining, you know, practice.
But you
he's also honoring the game and talking about how he brought it without fail at the game.
They never play the whole excerpt. Unfortunately, Gary did, but they never play the whole excerpt so that he gets the benefit of the doubt in explaining why practice isn't as far as a meaningful medium to him.
There
you go. Allen Iverson had been a white player, they wouldn't have said crap about it. Well, you know, he said he's stupid at a game, blah, 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 blah. And this is part of David Stern's nonsense as well, because he tried to make Iverson a pariah. People always will say, those who are uninformed will say, well, Iverson was just a scorer. No, he wasn't. Look at his stats. Iverson was always among the league leaders in assists. Now, for somebody who's supposed to be able to score, that's not true. Iverson was always among the league leaders in steals. That's somebody who's playing hardcore defense, which is part of this Georgetown pedigree. Because everybody in Georgetown plays defense.
Also, the media perception. What's happening in this country right now is the media has a almost unchecked reign on images. If you're an African American male and you're a star, the media can say you're a good guy or a bad guy. And they do that constantly. Without Iverson, that's what happened to him. The media portrayed him as a gangster. And if you didn't know any better, you would believe that. But we all know how Iverson was not a gangster. We all know that the Dreadnoughts and the Bosnian are black things, and the media did not like that. That's why you get that image. The same thing with LeBron James years ago. They played the same stuff over and over again. The same, look.
Gary, if I can provide a comparison, you know, we see the Miami Heat, and you see Chris Anderson, the Birdman. You know, they call him the Birdman, he's got all the tattoos, and he's got the spiked hair. I've never heard anybody in the NBA say anything negative about Chris Anderson's appearance, word of implies, or anything that comes down that pipe. You know, we talked about hair on our show this afternoon, Eric Satterwhite was riffing on the significance of it. You know, when black hair is relaxed, white folks are relaxed. But when black hair is nappy, white folks ain't happy. And Paul Rudy said that, and there's a lot of truth to it, because we've seen an attack in recent weeks on things like teachers cutting off braids of girls because they didn't like the braids, or because the little girl is playing with the beads and the braids and stuff like that, and they just lost their damn mind. You know, we've heard schools having dress codes now that specifically pertain to natural hair. No afro. You know, no afro puffs. None of that. No locks. Nothing. You know, it wasn't black people who came up with the term dreadlocks. It was white people who came up with the term dreadlocks. You know, I wore locks for a dozen years, and I was covering the National Football League. So you know they're having a time with me.
Yeah.
It didn't change the fact that I did my stuff. And you looked at differently. Allen Iverson had cornrows. You know, I saw him with his full-out afro one time, and somebody immediately said the guy was a thug. Why? Because he was wearing his natural hair. You know, it's stupid. But we know the symbolism thing is a powerful thing, and we know why some people want to go there. Never mind that Allen Iverson is a great basketball player. Never mind that Allen Iverson paid for full scholarships for two people from his area every year. He was in the National Basketball Association. That's 30 kids he put through college. And not just the one-year ride. He put them through for 4 years. And nobody said boo about it. Nothing. So you know David Stern should be castrated for being the SOB that he is. Because if this had been somebody else, they would have patted him on the back. Allen Iverson did what he could as best as he could in his way, and he was vilified for it. And by right, the Sixers will retire as number 3, because if anyone in terms of Philadelphia athletes deserves to have their number retired, it is the answer.
Also, I'm in Boston this weekend. I'm in Boston. See, this is how the NBA works. This weekend, the great Hall of Fame coach and player Bill Russell will have a statue in front of TD Gardens. The year is 2013, folks. And finds a statue up on TD Gardens. The same thing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Next year, 2014, they'll finally put a statue of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in front of Staples Center. And the how long, and Martin Luther King says, how long, not long.
It's a shame, Gary, because Bill Russell is the greatest winner in professional sports. He came in and did what was needed to do to win the Celtics championship after championship. As a Sixers fan, I hated the Celtics, but I respected Bill Russell because of what he could do. And all in this game was truly all out. The way he threw out the passes, the way he rebounded, the way he scored when he needed to. But his defense and everything else he showed, that's what wins championships. And even though the Celtics will talk about Cousy and Havlicek and be very careful in picking out who their heroes are, Bill Russell won so many championships that they couldn't ignore him. And now, something like 38 years later, he finally gets some due when Bob Cousy should have spoke up and said, we didn't treat Bill Russell right, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. or those assholes who did what they did to his house after the Celtics had won the championship. So Boston has a long way to go, and I know our colleague Travis lives there, but he knows that there's dirt there. But the bottom line is Bill Russell's getting his props. It's a shame that he had to wait so long. I'm glad he's alive to smell his roses, and
yeah.
I hope in 2014 Kareem will still be alive to smell his as well.
Well, I will never root for anything in Boston because of this reason. Bill Russell in 1954, 55, mid-50s, went to Boston to rent an apartment. He got an apartment in Boston. Somebody broke in his apartment.
Yep.
Defecated on his bed, put
yep.
blood on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and with the N-word on the wall, and yet these same people would go to the old Boston Gardens and cheer Bill Russell.
That's right.
These same morons who broke into his apartment and left a mess in the apartment would go to the Boston Gardens and cheer
yep.
the same mess. So I will never root for anything in Boston.
Mm-hmm. I agree, bro. You said it better than I could. Just as simple as that. That black players in Boston had to go through that nonsense. It wasn't just Bill Russell, obviously. The Jones boys, Casey and Sam, Seth Sanders, who was from New York. All of these cats who had to live through that nonsense of being in one of the most racially segregated cities in America, forget the down-south aspect of it, you know, that they pay homage to Bill Russell and that he succeeded in spite of what they did.
Yep.
This shows the level of greatness of what Bill Russell brought to the table. And in this world where ESPN would have you believe that sports didn't exist until their pitiful ass came alive, you know, Bill Russell's excellence is far beyond anything that ESPN could ever scrounge up. So, on a lot of fronts, I am happy for Bill Russell, but I am sad that he had to endure the kind of crap that he had to undertake just to do what he did.
Well, I got you on the air. I want to play this clip.
Well, Michael, let me throw up one thing here. I think the fact that Bill Russell did endure that is part of his heroic legacy.
All right. Why do we, as African-American men, have to continually endure this guy nonsense?
No, I agree, but it happened, and that's the harsh and terrible price that was imposed and was endured, and not everybody handled it well. But some people handled it with great dignity. Some people handled it with great dignity. Jackie Robinson, but probably came down with some health problems because of it.
Does not diminish Jackie Robinson in any way,
but the fact that Bill Russell has endured, proud and honorable, those things should not have been imposed upon him. But he suffered them with great dignity.
Well,
okay.
Who wants to suffer? I mean, hold on a second, because who wants to suffer? The whole point is Bill Russell and Jackie Robinson paid the ultimate price for trying to appear to white people. The bottom line is that Jackie Robinson died an early death because he had to internalize all that crap that he went through. You know, who should want to have to be suffered or be subjected to the kind of crap they did in Philadelphia when Ben Chapman and Joe Garagiola and their racist asses, two black cats out there, and say, hey, Jackie, here's some of your relatives. You know, the same thing happened to Russell. We talk about grace. Grace is just a euphemism for we're really glad that you didn't get angry and beat the shit out of some of us because we know what we did to you was wrong. You know, it's not about dignity. It's about survival. He survived as best as he could, and it's only because he was who he was that Boston, bleedingly and blindly, takes credit for what Bill Russell did in the dynamic of sport. If he had been 6 inches shorter and worked at the post office, Who knows how long he would live? Maybe he could have died a lot sooner living in an environment like that. There is no grace or dignity in that kind of crap. That's the kind of nonsense we've been told for 400 plus years. That's the kind of crap they're saying when they apologize for slavery, but then when they apologize, as his Aboriginal brother said in Australia, you know, black fellas will get the words, but white fellas will keep the money. That's the real deal here. All this is just another manifestation of this. And I'm sorry that Mr. Russell and Mr. Robinson had to go through that to such a degree that it altered their mindset and literally shortened their lifespan. Because even though Bill's alive now, who knows how much longer he would live or could live if he hadn't endured all that crap.
Hey, baby.
Tonight, Kobe Bryant is
going to
miss it because my foot is
sprained.
Are y'all crazy? Listen, please. Listen,
all right.
Let's talk about that. Back to Don.
All right. I'm
going to
do it one more time.
He'll be
just fine. Opening night, Kobe Bryant is going to miss it because my foot is sprained.
Are y'all crazy? Listen, please.
Listen, all right. Let's talk
about that. Back to
Don. Okay. Now, Mr. Stephen A. Smith said this last week. Stephen A. Smith is still working for ESPN. Stephen A. Smith has not gotten fined or suspended for ESPN. I have a problem with this because he apologized on Monday. He didn't use the word, the N-word. But it's obvious he didn't use the N-word. And it's obvious it was okay by ESPN. We got a problem because Stephen A. Smith should be suspended, should be fined, or even fired. And ESPN marches on their programming. What they, Art?
Well, you know, I didn't get that whole audio, so I didn't exactly hear what the quote was, but I think, you know, if the N-word was used and that's was broadcast, it's remarkable. I mean, how has ESPN handled this? How have they been able to sweep it under the carpet?
There's absolutely nothing. Stephen A. Smith apologized on Monday. That was the end of the case. And other African American announcers have been fired for lesser. And
right.
You had a white announcer said Martin Luther King Day or Martin Luther King Day 3 years ago. He didn't get fired either. So see, this is the kind of stuff that needs, look, if you want to be equal and fair, do it right. This guy is going to be fired.
Or yeah, the Martin Luther King quote, did that happen on ESPN?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. My view on this is, you know, people of color who watch ESPN and subscribe to the magazine need to make themselves heard. Being a sports fan and continuing to fight the fight, is not just sitting there watching the game and sitting there reading the magazine on your couch. When
believe
these things
me,
happen, you have to push back.
Well, believe me, Mr. Gary Ed Gray will always be on the case when it comes to this. And believe me, Mr. Stephen A. Smith will be hearing from me for next week. I cannot believe ESPN did actually nothing to this man. Michael, are you there? Michael here?
Sounds like he's gone.
Michael, all right. But I am appalled and amazed that he did absolutely nothing.
Well, I think it needs to be a letter-writing campaign. I think, you know, this becomes like what you've accomplished, I think, with the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Football Club, the letter-writing campaign, and how... you know, these things come up, and And when people respond, you know, when people sit there and get irritated or get outraged, nothing happens. But then when they respond and there's a letter-writing campaign, you have somebody like Bob Costas even standing up about the Washington Football Club, then you get a response. Sometimes that response is stupid. I think Daniel Snyder, the owner, is now talking about changing, you know, the name of the team to the D.C. Redskins. Well, that's not the issue. It's not the identification with the city. It's the identification and the naming of the name of the team name itself.
And if Mary Gray, which no relation, if Mary Gray is dead to the ground, which I hope he does, the Washington Football Club will not be entering Washington, D.C. proper with that name. Now, my issue, again, is with Richmond, Virginia. Richmond, Virginia allowed the Washington Football Club to have practice this year in Richmond, Virginia. I'm writing letters to them right now as we speak about Richmond city officials letting the Washington Football Club play practice in their city with their name. If it's a coordinated attack on this club, the name will go. If they can't play practice in Richmond, Virginia, where are they going to go?
Right. Well, it needs to be a coordinated attack. You know, it needs to be the people of the district need to write in. The people from the surrounding states need to write in.
That's right.
And that pressure has to be maintained.
Look, this issue will not go away. I don't care how Daniel Snyder cleans it up. This will not go away.
Right. Well, I think, you know, you do continue to focus on ESPN, and it's remarkable and disturbing that ESPN continues to offend in this area. In an era where, you know, I think there is heightened racial sensitivity, and certainly heightened racial mistakes are still made, but it's inexcusable for ESPN to consistently be making these mistakes.
Well, today they got wise. Crusoe today picked the Florida State Seminoles, and he did not put on an Indian headdress or war paint today. So he got the word.
Uh-huh.
He got the word.
Right.
He knew better. 'Cause 2 weeks ago, he put on an headdress and Indian war paint and Indian attire and danced on stage. Okay, and he got lit up for doing that. He picked Florida State to win the game, which they did. But today, he picked Florida State, and he didn't do anything else. See, you know, you're doing
wrong.
Yeah,
well, I think that's an example of how, you know, however it occurs, word gets out there by hook and by crook, and
right.
And changes made. There's one other thing. The theme that I called in with was talking about. You know, the changing of the seasons here, where we are on the sports calendar, halfway through the NFL, NBA just getting started, the end of the World Series, nobody really caring, the tribute that I guess we kind of got around to doing on Allen Iverson. But part of the NBA season starting, we have Miami Heat, LeBron in the last year of his contract with the Heat.
Yes.
The team looking to hopefully three-peat. But if they do not three-peat, do you think LeBron will stay with the Heat, or do you think he'll go elsewhere?
Rephrase that.
Part of the question, if it's the last year of his contract,
they want to three-peat.
Repeat again.
What I mean by rephrasing that, you just say, when Miami with the three-peat?
Well, if they do it this year, or let me say it this way, whether they do it or whether they don't, his contract is up. If they do it, will he stay? If they don't, will he stay?
Well, it depends on Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. This team, they know they will most definitely three-peat. There's only one team in the Eastern Conference that can beat them, and that's the Chicago Bulls, and maybe the Indiana Pacers. Other than that, and nobody else said it. Even my beloved New York Knicks, they can't beat the Heat. If they're all healthy. And they're all playing well, nobody gonna beat the Heat. Nobody.
Okay, so that's so. Then, do you think he stays beyond this year, whichever way it works out?
I said before, the middle of Bosh and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, because they are, I think, both clearly in the, their career's not over, but they're in the twilight years of their careers. But I think LeBron is really just now emerging into the full realization of his skills.
Buzz is a very good player. Wade has questioned with his knees. Buzz can play at least 5 more years. Wade has a questionable. The Miami Heat, if they have a strong bench this year, they will win again. The bench is going to have to step up this year other than they did last year because they're 1 year older. Hello?
Yeah. If he leaves, where do you see him possibly leaving to?
There are only two places I know. People have said that he would go back to Cleveland. I don't think he's going to go back to Cleveland. I think it's going to be either L.A., the L.A. Clippers, or L.A. Lakers, or New York Knicks. Those are the only three teams I think that he would go to. L.A. Clippers, L.A. Lakers, or New York Knicks.
Right. Yeah, because they'd have to be major markets.
That's right, because the LeBron is on the last years of his contract, last years of his career, he wants to be in a big city. That's why I rule out Cleveland. People have said he would go back to Cleveland because he won't retire back in Cleveland. I don't see that. I don't see that because of the way Dan Gilbert, the way Gilbert treated him. I don't see that.
Right. Has there ever been anything on the record about bad blood in public between... other than, of course, the decision not to return to Cleveland, not to sign with Cleveland, by which he went to the Heat. But has there been anything in public on bad blood between Dan Gilbert and LeBron?
What do you think? After the letter he wrote.
Ah, there we go. That's right, the famous letter from Gilbert. That's right. I forget that. Thank you for reminding me. Full of name-calling and... everything else.
Yeah,
hey, well, listen, when we started this golf conversation, which was supposed to be a 10-minute conversation, you said, oops, look what time it is. And now, almost an hour later, look what time it is.
Yes. You want to get out of here?
I want to get out of here.
Hold on. Get you out of here.
The right way.
Everybody's talking all the stuff about me. Why don't they just let
of the gold conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. The NCAA football day, the BCS, the second week of the BCS bowls are out. Alabama 1, Oregon 2, Florida State 3, Ohio State 4, Stanford 5, Baylor 6, Miami, University of Miami, Florida 7, Clemson 8, Missouri 9, Oklahoma 10. The big games today are Florida State at Miami, and Michigan at Michigan State. And right now, Michigan State 16, Michigan 6. We're in the third quarter. Navy is holding on to Notre Dame 24-20. And, I told you about Notre Dame. Ohio State 56, Purdue nothing. Wisconsin 28, Iowa 9. Our cousins, the Northern Illinois Huskies 63, Massachusetts 19. And the Huskies are undefeated, number 17 ranked in the country. So, North Carolina 34, Mississippi State 16, and Clemson, number 8 Clemson, over University of Virginia, 42-10. All right, HBCU news, we got Reggie come on, everybody, HBCU. Bethune-Cookman is ranked number 12 in the NCAA, 1AA. Ranking Tennessee State is 24th, and the Clemson Tigers will play this weekend against Missouri Valley State. Donations have been pouring in all over the country to help the Tiger program rebuild the football program. The Black Major Bowl, Bethune-Cookman Wildcats number 1. Tennessee State Tiger number 2, Jackson State Tiger number 3, Alabama State Hornets number 4, Alcorn State Braves number 5, South Carolina State Bulldogs number 6, North Carolina A&T Aggies number 7, Southern Jaguars number 8, Braves A&M Panthers number 9, North Carolina State Central Eagles number 10. As you heard earlier today, Winston-Salem State Rams number 1 in the Black Mid-Major Bowls. Tuskegee State Tiger number 2. Michigan State Trojans number 3. And I know Reggie's happy today. Spelman Tigers number 4. The Shaw Bears number 5. The Fayetteville State Broncos, number 6. Mills, Golden Bear, number 7. Lane Dragons, number 8. Kentucky State, Thoroughbreds, number 9. And Johnson C. Smith, Golden Bulls, number 10. In the NCAA Mid-Major Bowl, it's Missouri Valley Conference has 3 of them in this bowl. It's North Dakota State, number 1, Eastern Illinois, number 2, Coastal Carolina, number 3, Eastern Washington, number 4, Montana State, number 5, Towson, number 6, McNeese State, number 7, Fordham Rams, number 8, Sam Houston State, number 9, and the Youngstown State Penguins, number 10. Like I said, the Missouri Valley Conference has 3 teams in the top 10 this week. SIU goes to Western Illinois in the dog fight. And South Dakota State, number 20, in the 1AA bowl. The Salukis are number 30. And rebuilding the program, if they win today, looking to win today, they'll be in the top 25. what they're doing. Let's see what they're doing today. And we take on the Salukis and the Missouri Valley. And nobody wants to play a Valley school anymore outside their conference because of the power ratings so far. Let's see if we get a score here. SIU. Well, they lost to Western Illinois 34-28 in the last seconds as the Bulldogs beat the Salukis. The Dogs beat the Cats today. We'll take a break and then get back with you with the other news, other sports. Okay, let's see if we can work this out here.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad4Truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Tocchet is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
Okay, wind down. The PGA, the Mirror in Shanghai for the World Cup HSBC Championship and later in Taiwan. For Sunrise Taiwan got a championship. PBA, take your local listing for your local regional championship. In tennis, Serena Williams is the girl does it again as she defeats Nali in the WTA Championships in Turkey. Another great matchup America did not see. And this is a classic. This is the fourth time that Nali and Serena Williams have gone for a championship. And on the verge of a 1970s matchup with Chrissy Everett-Lloyd and Martina Navratilova of the 70s. But the question is, will we get to see these matches because Serena and Ali are in their 30s now? So, great matchup, Serena Williams and Ali. Next week, they'll be a friend for the BNB Paramus Masters, and the men will also be there. So both of the men and women will be as various friends for the BNP Masters Championship. NASCAR, here we get down to the real deal. 4 races left in the sprint chase as the Goody Daddy Relief 500 in Ridgeway, Virginia. and then take this Matt Gaines return to first place with Jimmy Johnson right behind him. So this weekend is gonna be tomorrow on the ESPN NASCAR Classic. And Jeff Gordon and Harvick are not far behind in third or fourth place. So this is going to go down to the wire with NASCAR Sprint Classic, the closest one in many, many years, with three more races to go. Take out NASCAR tomorrow. That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. We had some fun. Thank Reggie Algo here, Michael Lewis Ingram, and 707, rocking and rolling. Go to the website at blackaddy.com. Our new sponsor, Virginia Reality Sports. Group in Virginia, Rouse in Virginia. WCLM 1450. And WCLM RadioOnline.com. Richmond. Michael Lewis Ingram is on the radio in the Raw. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Master Band. The Master Band.biz. In Raleigh, North Carolina. Pat Freeman, the Mighty O-Bob. WUFO 1080, Buffalo, New York. Remember the late, great Roy Rogers, BASN, New York City, New York. And check out Doreen Wade. They got Doreen Wade, an article on there. New England Informer Magazine, CEO of Boston, Massachusetts. And last, and get your glove on with DMI Bruce Market in Elsville, California. Hope you have a good week. Enjoy the weekend. And don't forget, do not forget, turn your clock back before you go to bed or when you wake up in the morning. We go back to standard time until the end of March. Alright, enjoy your weekend. And we're going to have Tracy, take it out of here. My girl Tracy. I'm going to get around here. Come on. Oh, my. Maybe not. And my computer goes blank. Let me get my drink. There we go. As I leave you with Mitch Messer.